right, let's get going. I was waiting for Dave to get here. If you guys understand, we leave out the pledge, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Geary. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We'll note that Todd is on the screen, and so is Terry. So we'll try to... Somebody else on... Oh, Todd's on the phone.
Todd's on the phone.
It's not Todd.
Just, you know, not to be fun, ignoring them. The consent agenda is in front of you, which includes the approval of last... or approval of this agenda, the meeting notes from April 26th, and notification of the next meeting on June 28th, 2023. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Okay, we'll open it up for any public comments, if there are any.
Oh, we need to vote.
We need to vote.
I'm sorry, we need to vote on that. All in favor of the consent agenda?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
You're welcome.
No public comments. Okay. Let's go down to the board business, and Mr. Glenn Schmidt, would you tell us about the audit of 2022?
Yes, we met a couple weeks ago with the auditor and had a nice visit with him. You should all have copies of it, and in your receipt is in your emails that as well, you can study. Of course, we go through all this work to get this one. A quick paragraph, basically, that says that everything's good. And so the auditor, as we met with him, said that everything is fine with the audit. So we have a, what we call an unmodified opinion, as you see in the cover letter that Squire issued. And if you look on page 2 in the actual finance report, you'll see that they give their opinion that everything was in good shape and in all material respects, the respective financial position of the government activities and the general fund of Cache Valley Transit District and respective changes in financial position for the county generally accepted in the United States of America in opinion. And so they go on and talk about their basis of opinion and mostly boilerplate type of stuff that they do. They did everything within generally accepted auditing standards, and went through there and required public supplementary information. I think back on page 22 or something like that. That's the budgetary comparison schedule. If you look there, you can see on page 22, if you want to look at budgetary comparisons, you can see what the original budget was, what the final budget was, actual, and the variance there. And we basically reported on that when we did the last report, the quarterly report, which was the last report. So basically, everything that we reported in that report is the same as there were not really any changes in that here that the auditors found. So they had no need to do any, recommend any journal entries or adjustments. And so everything's good there. If you look on page, if you go back, you can see, let's see, I have some notes here. Back in fact, they give opinions regarding the federal awards and the same thing there in compliance with that. If you look back there on page 32, might be of interest to you if you look at that. It's the Cache Valley District schedule of findings and question costs, and you can see that there were no problems there unmodified or any questions that were none reported, no questions, etc., etc. Very clean audit, and the auditors expressed their happiness with working with our people with Curtis and his people, and how good it was very forthcoming. Any questions that they have, any problems getting the material. If you look on page 6, the management's discussion of analysis, the first page, that's kind of a condensed financial report there. It gives the, what's compares the 2 years, so that's a good comparison. And basically, if we go down to the revenues, taxes, your comparison, there's about $605,000 that went up 7.87%. Federal and state grants went up by $1.3 million, about 24.5%, and et cetera, et cetera. So those are the big ones. The net position changed by 5.2 million, about 18% increase on our net position. And anything else? That's about it to compare there. So just going through just kind of the education, just going through management's discussion analysis. If you look at the next pages and read through there, there's a discussion of basic changes there that Curtis has prepared there to help explain some of the things going on there, some ideas. And then, of course, on page 9 is the statement of net position. If you look at that, you can compare that, the numbers from there on page 6. Page 6 is more of a summary of what's happening on page 9. And you can see the changes there and see that they changed from the general fund is the government fund, and it has to adjust it to include the net investments in capital assets. And let's see, if you look at capital assets, note 4 has a detailed description of that on page 18. If you want to compare that, you can see the changes that happened there to come up with that 18 million. So I would refer you to that. And then on the down in the fund balances, net position, the assigned portion, the 13.3, remember we discussed that in our meeting last time, I believe it was, and if you look on note 7, page 19, it refers to that. So if you want some more detail, that will help that. So I would encourage you to just go through some of these if you have any more questions. Like I say, it's very clean audit. Auditors are very pleased with what's happening here. We discussed with them about controls. They said that all controls looked good, that they audited, and so they felt very comfortable with the way we're operating, and we just had a nice clean audit. Any questions?
I just have a funny comment. This is a different world than I live in, so the jargon is new to me.
Yes.
The statement keeps appearing, I love it. During our audit, we did not identify any deficiencies. We did not identify any deficiencies in internal control or compliance that we consider to be material weaknesses, as defined above. However, material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal control or compliance may exist that were not identified.
Right. They're covering their bases.
Yeah. We didn't identify them.
Yeah. We didn't find any, but there may be some there that we didn't find.
Well, they can't test everything.
Right, exactly.
And so they test a defined sample.
Yep.
So that's why it's...
That's why it's that.
It would take them all year to test everything.
Well,
we
have Curtis doing it all the time.
Yeah. Right.
This is a big deal. We really did celebrate the fact that not only was this clean audit, it was a squeaky clean audit.
Really clean. No.
There were no findings.
No findings.
Which is almost unheard of.
Yeah. Right.
The auditors hang their hats on the fact that they're going to find something through the board.
Yeah. They're looking
at management, and they couldn't on this one.
Yep. That's so right. So
Congratulations to Curtis. Curtis deserves a round of applause. Because this is rare as in Steve.
Yeah.
So,
well, what do you have to say for yourself?
I have a fantastic team that I work with, and we have a fantastic culture that understands the importance, and it really is a team effort, so I'll pass along the kudos because they deserve it.
Yeah.
So it helps. He knows where the stumps
He knows what to do. He knows where to hide.
You don't have to be a board member to know that.
Yeah.
What
Ben said? Curtis probably knows where to hide things.
He
can make them smell pretty good.
Yeah. Good job.
You know, it's worth noting, Todd once told me a story about my mentor on the CBTD, Roger Pond, who was a controller at ATK Empire Con. When he joined the board, he said, my job here is to clean this place up. And he came from a financial world, you know, Mary. And it wasn't very long after joining the board that he stood up and apologized and said, this is one of the best run organizations I've ever seen. So, well done. Okay, moving on. Let's have Brett Crowler come back up. We're going to talk a little bit more about long-range planning priorities. And while he makes that long jaunt, let me just add one detail to what long-range means. So this is part of our process. Contributing to the CMPO, the decisions that we're making regarding long range is in the tune of the year 2050. I probably won't even be alive when that happens. So as we discuss these finite details, I wouldn't get too hung up on it because it is down the road a ways.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. What we want to do, if you go to the next slide, we're reporting back after our last discussion last month. You all responded to a follow-up survey, getting additional input on the prioritization. We're going to report the results of that to you. And our goal is to get consensus that we're on the right track with that prioritization criteria. So if you go, okay, thank you very much. Okay. So just as a recap, previously you completed a survey at a board meeting. We understand we had some technology challenges, et cetera. So that's why we repeated that, to make sure we do, you know, you all feel comfortable that you've had a chance to provide that input. If you go to the next, I got the slide thing right now. So maybe we can move that window.
I'm waiting over here.
Okay, so you all responded to the survey. We asked you to rate each of the priorities on a scale of 1 to 10. We didn't ask you to rank them against each other, et cetera, but on a scale of 1 to 10, independently in and of themselves. So these are the results of that survey. We actually had 19 respondents this time.
Hey, that's all of us.
Yes.
Plus one.
Oh, dear.
Now the whole thing's in question.
So we removed, there was the very first entry was on the same day, identical results. So we assumed that somebody had submitted that twice. So we removed that to get back down to the 18 results. So hopefully nobody was trying to cheat the system, and we'll report you to the auditors if you were. Okay. So this is a results of that scoring. So again, recall, asked you to rate each 1 to 10. So the total points, okay, is in the column, the third column over, is a summation of those 1 to 10 scoring. So you see the number one priority from you all is get people to jobs in Cache County with 158 points. There's not a lot of difference between that number one and number two, you know, and it's only, what, maybe 5 or 8% between number two and number three. So they are all pretty close, and so we recognize they are important. It doesn't mean that they're not important, but we're trying to do so you can allocate, make funding decisions, et cetera. What are the highest priority to the board? So the average score for that top priority was an 8.8 out of 10. The median score, meaning well, mode is the most common answer, right? So the most common answer was 10. And the median, I'm trying to, so that would mean half above or and half below. And so we have a lot of 10s on that number one, getting people to jobs in Cache County. And then one of you rated it as a one, as on the scale of 1 to 10.
Toss the outlier.
Okay. So you can see that as we go down each of the priorities. So priority number two, provide access for persons with disabilities, seniors, and low income. Number three, make existing service even better. So that's whether it's providing nighttime service, that's, you know, increasing frequency, etc. Number four, making transit more competitive with driving to lure people from the bus into their vehicles. Number five, making those connections to whether it's to Beaver Mountain or to Box Elder County, Brigham City, et cetera, making connections outside of Cache County. And then number six, expanding transit to new areas inside Cache County, so those that are not currently within the CBTD service area.
I wonder if that one first one was thought that one was actually the 10.
You know, I can.
Yeah, mixed up on that.
I have the.
So that would be an easy mistake.
That would be an easy mistake to make, but I don't know that.
Yes.
That it was stupid. I mean, it didn't screw anything, but I don't think that.
Or even if you.
Unless it's a retired person that says, I don't give a crap.
Yes.
Well, we have some of those.
Some people that were don't give a crap.
So that person. You know, maybe that's possible because they are rated everything really, really low.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think they got the scale backwards.
Yeah, maybe they got the scale backwards. Okay, so I don't know. Danielle, are you on the line?
No, I don't have any.
Okay, nobody else on the line? Okay, so we will go back and maybe we translate that for the group and taking the kind of inverse. And so we had two number. If we were doing that for this person, number one would be providing access for persons with disabilities. Number two would be get people to jobs in Cache County.
Which is exactly what,
yeah.
Okay.
It looks like it. If
and number three is expand transit to new areas inside Cache County. So that's different. Number six. Well, the third priority, they did three tens essentially, make service even better, and then the lowest rated would be expand, make connections outside of Cache County, and make transit more competitive with driving.
I think that's, we'll
do the math on that and see how that probably it increases those top ones. So we'll go do the math on that one. If, with your permission, we can change the results about that.
I don't know what will affect the results, but
yeah, I don't know either. So okay. So then we asked, are there any priorities that are not included in the list? And we had, these are the free response comments. And when we're looking at them, we gave you the opportunity to provide input clean slate on any other priorities, and they really already fit within the categories we have. These were the responses we had. Get people to their jobs, that's clearly economic development, fit within get people to jobs. I think the greatest area you had was make service even better. So we had comment, make the bandwidth to address growth areas and new job centers, expand night weekend service, which clearly fits into that, and then some support services, improve the website, app, signage, and then training. And then we had connect with UT service, those that are really clearly within that, make connections outside of Cache County, and then expand our region regionally as well as locally, expanding transit to new areas inside Cache County.
So I'm gonna say something. I put the half the bandwidth one, and that's really not just existing service.
Okay.
That's planning for the future somehow, and it didn't really fit to me.
Okay.
So I don't know whether you want to.
Does it fit in one of the others?
No, that's why I wrote it out. didn't feel like it fit.
It's in all of them.
But because I feel like just existing service is one thing, but having the planning tools and the funding and the service, and having that bandwidth, that planning bandwidth to address growth areas and job centers is making new service within the county, but it's not exactly just that. You know what I mean? It's like a combo of existing service even better and maybe expand to new areas of the county or whatever, because you don't know where the job centers are going to end up.
So is it covered within the ones we already have, but you're saying it's a compilation?
Yeah.
I mean, is it its own new priority, or is it already covered within some of the...
It's probably already covered, but I don't think it's just an existing service.
Okay.
I wanted it to be a little wider than that.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Question three, we asked you, if we gave you $100 essentially, recognizing that we do have limited funding over the next 20 years, what percentage of funds should be used to either improve existing service or expand geographic coverage? Okay, so the expanding existing service is nighttime hours, more frequency, etc. Expanding geographic coverage is either outside of the county or to expanding the CBTV service area within the county. So the results of that, 54%, if we take the average results, 54, you would break it up, 54% of funds toward improving existing service and 46% expanding service. If I do a median, we tilt more towards improving existing service and less towards expanding. Any questions about that? Okay, so it feels like the focus still is, you know, more funding, more priority towards existing service. Not to say the other isn't important, but more focus on that improved service within the existing areas. Any questions or thoughts about that? Does that feel right to you? And maybe I'll back up. See, now that you've seen this, does that feel like the right prioritization based on...
But it was only between those two things.
I'm sorry?
If you had money, you could... What would you do? This or this? How much would... Yeah.
Out of those two things.
I didn't ask based on any other priorities.
No, you're right.
So
we're just trying to get focused on coverage versus service. Because basically that's the two big decisions in transit plan. You can enhance your existing service, make, you know, they call it the frequent transit network. You can make the loop run reliably and frequent and really try and gain your ridership on that loop, or you can spread yourself out in peanut butter.
That's why I said what I said in that other comment, was I feel like we need to do existing service better always, but we also have to keep our eye on the prize, which is where growth and jobs are.
And this doesn't say you don't spend any money on expanding service. It just says we'd spend more than 50% on our existing service. So this here, does this feel like the right... order of priorities. Okay. So with that, so you can see these are our priorities, and basically what we did, we took those priorities and put them into these bins. So number one and number two, the weighting is the same. Because there's such a small difference between those, 3%, 5%, they both are weighted 25 points out of the scoring criteria. So it doesn't really matter which is rated number one and which is rated number two. Okay? Make service even better, gets 15 points out of that 100. You can see more competitive driving, 10, the same as making connections outside of the county, then expanding to new areas inside Cache County, because that was the lowest rated priority, receives a 5 points. And then we have an evaluation criteria for recognizing project costs and new transportation loads. Okay. Any questions about that? So there really is the weight of the prioritization.
So can you talk to me a little bit about why, okay, you added project costs and new transportation load and gave them 5 points each. Why did you give them 5 points each, and what does that, I mean, it wasn't addressed in any of the questions.
Recognizing, so I think if you have 50, what does that add up to? That's probably over 110, or that's, is that 110, 50, 75,
90. No, it's
100. Is it 100? Okay. So in the purpose of that, there are some projects that very expensive, require lots of resources, and so it, and so recognizing that you can do more with the resources for lower cost, and trying to, you know, I guess it's somewhat of a penalty if it's a high cost, if it's a high cost project that's difficult to implement.
Okay, I still don't understand why you gave it.
Didn't that kind of make it a tiebreaker?
I can look at, Danielle, are you on the line there? Yeah?
Yes.
Can you remind us on the project cost criteria and the thinking behind that?
And the new transportation.
So it is a penalty for a high cost project because their cost would be prohibitive. So that's something like a high capacity project would receive 0 points here. If you're a low-cost project, like adding additional service hours to the existing service, you'd be, if they're a low-cost project, and you get the full 5 points.
So if it gets people to jobs and it costs hardly anything, it gets 30 points? Is that what you're talking
about? If it's a low-cost, and yes, exactly. If it's a low cost and it's fulfilling the criteria, we get those more additional bonus points.
Okay.
I have a quick question too.
Yeah.
Did you tell us how you determine these scores, the 25 versus the 15 versus the 10? You just kind of put them on there. So, you know, if we were to look back at the six questions and both their means
yes.
and modes, as well as the extra comments that people put in where they were categorized, you know, you would, I'm just thinking mostly about make existing service even better. A 10-point drop seems a little bit more drastic than the previous day it was suggested would be.
Okay.
Was there a thinking on that?
Danielle, do you want to speak to that as we develop those bins?
Yeah, so they're based on the distribution of those survey results of the different criteria. So to give people jobs in Cache County and provide access for those special populations, so people with disabilities, seniors, and low income, those got 25 points because those scored the highest in our survey.
Skip back a bit, a couple of slides.
And are you looking back to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so based on this distribution of total points there from the survey results.
And you're just saying 10-point differential may be a little dramatic for how close they are in this.
Yeah.
And so we could be more precise in terms of its distribution, perhaps, instead of a, you know, 10 points out of the, you know, instead of a 10% differential. So that was between the two. That was, I guess, you're saying between make transit or make existing service even better versus get people the job in Cache County. So make transit even better.
Excuse me.
Well, it seems like they did 25-25 for the 150s. Then they dropped down to the 130s.
The second,
then they dropped again for the 120s, and then they dropped again for the 100s.
So it's certainly something that we could do a true scale if you felt like these results were
I was just asking, you know, was it kind of a little bit of an arbitrary how you made the buckets, or
yeah,
did you have
right,
some
yeah,
math involved?
Yeah, it's okay. with the bids, recognizing that it's, you know, there's only 3% differential or so, 5% between one and two, really calling those even.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's the others, the kind of precipitous drop that had me curious.
Yeah. Okay. If you feel like that's not the right answer, we can, it's a simple math exercise.
I'm curious to see how it affects the prioritization results.
Yeah, okay. So we can show you what those projects, based on this revised scoring. You can see the top projects there increased weekday frequency, so that's focused on increased service.
Is it possible to make that a little bit bigger for us than Title
VII?
No, because a lot of people that need a prescription are going to be alive when we use this.
But I will say, how do you take a score of 25, 5, 10, and 15 and end up with a total score of 72?
So that's a weighting. So we, the actual criteria is based on mapping and some GIS data with census data, et cetera. So the actual criteria, for example, of so the actual criteria for that first, provide access for persons with disabilities and low-income populations, the actual criteria is measuring total persons with disabilities, low-income populations, and senior populations within a quarter mile of the project. So taking census data and measuring that, and then rating those, whether it's ranking those, the results of that criteria applied to each of the projects. And then we apply the weight.
You do each of the criteria and weight it?
We do all the criteria, and then we weight it based on the results that we just showed you. So 25 points out of 100, it would get more emphasis as compared to that 15.
Yeah, I think I'd be more comfortable if you did some math in those.
In the 25, 10, and 15,
yeah,
bins?
Because now I see how the weighting is. It would change quite a bit, especially in the middle areas.
And so
may not change your top two or your bottom two.
So taking a direct math formula. Okay.
8.5 is 85% of 10.
Okay.
15 is 60% of 25.
Yeah, it's a simple math, simple spreadsheet exercise to do that.
I bet it would change a number of priorities here.
Is that the direction from the board?
I don't know. Just a thought.
It makes sense to me.
I think the question we're getting to is, you know, we just filled out a survey of what our board's priorities are. Does this look like what any of your priorities are?
For the year 2050.
For the year 2050.
Lee Aaron's going to be here. That's
no, I just have to say, I'm reading a book by Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's talking about how every 30 years for the past, 100 years has looked so different, you can't even imagine. So when you say, oh, in 2050, I literally just, read, he's like, in 2050, we really can't even imagine that it's going to change. So it's making me chuckle a little bit.
Sorry.
Because we're not going to use it.
But you know what?
That's a good
point. These projects right here are not all going to wait to happen until 2050. Yeah. They're going to happen between now and then. So we will be doing that. And are they the projects that meet the criteria that we need?
You are spot on, but there's no reason why we can't reach down and say, you know what, I'm doing that Brigham City commuter no matter what. That's one I wanted to do.
Well, I agree with you in the long run.
You're dead right. You are absolutely right, but I don't think we should get high-centered on it. We're giving broad brush strokes to something we may or may not use.
That's true, because this is only one data point. There's also boarding data, ridership data, other
And this informs your decisions. Yes. It doesn't make the decision for you. It informs your decision as you prioritize projects.
So I have a question. Did you do one of these before? before four?
Yes.
Have you done one before?
One before.
One of these sorts of exercises for the transit district in the past.
Prior year.
No, this is our first with Cache Valley Transit District.
Okay. I know we've done the long range planning before.
Yeah.
I just.
We don't have anything to compare with.
This actually is the first time we've done more of a long range with lots of projects study. The other ones that we've done have been more short range, what's happening within the next 5 years, trying to identify certain priorities. So from a management standpoint, we're kind of excited about getting the direction and then being able to come back through and say, okay, this is my standpoint, I'm very much mathematical, I'll admit that. Here's the top 10, guys. What ones do you think we ought to tackle in the next 7 to 10 years and start lining up funding and lining up ideas? And it kind of gives us a benchmark to bring the projects back to the board. And Todd, you can jump in here if I'm speaking out of turn, but it's not necessarily which one's one, which one's two. It's more which one's in the top five, which one's in the top 10.
Well, this is more of a guideline. It's not, it can be that you can pick and choose. I mean, priorities change too. There may be a big, huge development built somewhere in the valley, and we say, hey, we've got to move there, and it's improving existing or new service. We've got to move that item up. I mean, it doesn't mean that we have to do it. It's just like a master plan, it's just a guideline.
Yeah. Well, and it evolves as you go.
It does evolve.
Every 5 years or so, you look at it again.
And that's why they update long range plans every 5 years or so, because that conditions change.
It always changes.
Yep.
And getting the air and credit down by 2050, a lot of things look different.
Yes.
I mean, look how many people we've lost from the board just in the 5 minutes we've been talking
about. This really helps us, guys, as far as the MPO's plan and put projects in there. We'll have funding of what these projects cost. And then all that feeds up into our Utah Unified Plan. And this informs state legislators when we're asking for funding. This informs, our local cities. It informs EPO. It informs you as a board as well. But it really helps us have, or be able to demonstrate to all of these folks that we have projects out there that we need to fund. When we get to the implementation side of things, then we will get a lot more into the weeds and really be looking at many factors beyond just this. But this gives us that list of projects and a general direction of where you want to head.
Okay. Any more questions about that? Okay. And then we have the additional non-transit route projects. So these are the non-segment based that will also be in the plan. Transit signal priority, bus stop improvements, et cetera, van pool partnerships. So you can think of these as more area type projects. And then, Todd, do you want to give a little bit more background on these additional UDOT projects?
Yeah, so again, as we've kind of talked about, these plans are updated every 4 or 5 years, right? And so it's a constant thing. So UDOT actually reached out to us as well. All this is kind of being done at the same time. UDOT's updating their long-range plan. And so we actually talked through projects that they identified. And so, again, we want to pull those projects into our long-range plan as we're doing this update as well. And so these are projects that UDOT also is saying, hey, we're putting these on the long-range plan, but some of these are, 20-plus years out, but we want to coordinate our plan efforts to make sure our plan is reflective of their plan as well. So that's really what a lot of these projects are here is, okay, that makes sense, let's put that on there. But again, they're 20-plus years out, but maybe something changed, maybe all of a sudden PA gets a bunch of money to run front runner up to Brigham City or backup often, and then that will change our priority for that connection. Something can happen. So again, we put these on the plan, so these are identified as projects, but again, how they rank out today may be different than out 2 years from now because the world is between them. That makes sense.
All right. So next steps in the study, we've identified the priority list of projects. They're in the purple. And our next step is with estimated costs to fiscally constrain them based on available funding. Some of them will be required grant funds, et cetera. That's not within the existing CBTP budgets. We'll identify those, and then identify those that would fit in with anticipated available funds over the next 5 years. Okay. Any questions? Feel like it's on the right.
Yeah.
Right track right now.
Yeah, Brett, I just personally want to thank you. I mean, you made two trips up here from Salt Lake. You kind of restarted this when we had kind of an uncomfortable start. I sure appreciate all the effort that you guys have done to walk us through this. You've got 19 people that are super passionate about this organization, and they don't want to just give up control willy-nilly and go down a path that they're not comfortable with. So thank you for walking us through this.
Yeah. And we can send out all the detailed spreadsheets, you know, if you want to dive into it. You know, we can send that out. So, okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. Okay, moving along. Curtis, tell us about the on-bus advertising.
So, normally we don't talk to...
Question. Point of clarification there. Ideally, we'd want you to vote on the priority that they're, the direction we want to go. If you don't want to, that's okay, but that would be ideal. I'll leave that up to you, Chair, Mr. Chair.
We don't want to. Curtis, carry on.
Normally, we don't talk a whole lot about procurements down to a specific level with the board, but we just went through a procurement process, and one that we just want to make the board aware of, which is who it will be handling the brokering, basically, the advertising contracts for the advertising that goes on the sides of the buses. And so we went through a process. We actually went through a change. So we actually have a new company. It's a company called Hauk. Their focus is a little bit more on smaller transit agencies. And so we just want to make the board aware. Lamar used to be doing our advertising. Now it's a different company. They're still going to be following our same policy. So nothing changed policy-wise. They had to commit all of that. It's just a new vendor. So just in case somebody says, wait a second, what's going on with your advertising? I see somebody new, there was a process.
Is it cheaper, better, or is
it? Their revenue share is a little bit better with this. They're also a lot of focus on smaller transit agencies, so they got familiar with how to market in smaller areas. We was up for procurement anyway, but we felt like these guys offered a better service. So service and better revenue sharing is probably something we want.
Okay, great. Any questions on advertising? How about the Title VI outreach?
So just a reminder, Title VI makes it to where we consider all segments of the population. So we analyze from the census data, what sort of different populations are we serving? And so it primarily focuses on race, national origin, and color, the three areas. We've got to make sure we don't discriminate. And as part of that, we do outreach, trying to reach out. Well, our largest segment, based on census data, besides white Anglo-American, is the Hispanic population. Those are Spanish-speaking. So we structured up an outreach program, we formalized it, and just to report back, we actually had a booth at the Cinco de Mayo celebration that was down at the fairgrounds, had a fantastic opportunity to interact with all sorts of people. We're fortunate enough that we can staff the booth with at least one person who speaks Spanish to interact with people. We make sure that people understand that person does speak Spanish. Had some good interaction. I won't say it was tons, but we had some interaction. Availability, just to explain about our bus service, and we actually have signs that go up. They're nice display signs, and they're in Spanish. So just to inform the board, we are doing that outreach. That is required for federal grants, but and then we'll do, if they have the Latino Festival this fall, we'll do that as well.
Any comments, questions on the Title VI? Go ahead.
Are you
going
to be at Summer Fest?
We haven't had plans to do Summer Fest from a Title VI standpoint. I'm not sure operationally if that's happening. But from a Title VI, the Title VI is really trying to focus on the groups and trying to get to where they're at. And they tend to be more of these types of festivals.
Okay, final couple of things. On the board reapportionment, I had a concept I wanted to pitch to the group to get some feedback and some of the spirit of brainstorming. Where we left off last time, I was a big fan of replicating the structure in the board from what the Cache County Council is. It's a 7-member seat. 3 from Logan and 4 from the different regions. The other idea that was proposed is basically cutting the board in half. That's a 9-member seat. We had kind of a brainstorming last week, and another idea emerged that I just wanted to fill out, see if you're interested in. And it really came from a comment that Jeannie made about the Cache County Council model. She said we don't want to make it political. I totally agree with that. I think one of the strengths of this organization is we have the ability to step away from the cities that we may represent and say what's best for the Cache Valley Transit District and the community at large. So in that vein, the idea would be, what if we just did an at-large board? What if we just did 9 people and the board voted on who would be the best fit of the 19 of us to serve on a really kind of high demand board, because it's only 9 people, like 10 hours a month is what I'm guessing. Who are the best 9 people of this large board to carry on that tradition of representing not just the Cache Valley Transit District, but Cache Valley as a whole, and you know, maybe even beyond. So the concept that we're kicking around and opening up to any conversation would be, we, in July, just vote. And we vote until we get down to 9 people. And I also want to create this outlet so people could gracefully bow out of service without feeling bad about it. So the idea there would be, in June, we go over to the Cache Valley Transit District offices, record a 2 or 3 minute video of why we would be a good selection to serve on the high demand board, and those videos, those 19 or less videos, would be available to all the board to watch. What's your pitch? Why do you want to serve? And it would be a precursor for a vote in the July meeting. So to summarize, an at-large board representing everything, all of Cache Valley. Videos to say, this is why I think I'd be a good fit. Or don't do a video if you don't want to run. Nobody's going to call foul because there's a lot of demand to this job. And then voting in July. Any feedback, please?
What happens after?
So the thought would be that the entire 19-member board serve until December 31st. No.
How would you? You've got 9 members.
Thank you. So this is the tricky part. This is a chicken and egg scenario, where you've got to get all the cities to say, yes, we'll go along with that. But the board doesn't really have authority to say, this is what the board is. So what we're doing here is saying, our proposal to you cities is, these are the 9 people that do it. And they represent all the district. And we go from city to city seeking ratification, essentially.
So how do you, you've got the nine people, you've got everybody to agree, they have terms, their term is over, how do you get a new one?
I don't know. None of that.
So I think it needs to be geographical, like.
Why? So that doesn't solve the term thing either.
No, well, it does, because it's three mayors or whatever.
Right.
But I do think, you know, based on our proposal, there was some concern about Logan having too many votes and, or a lot of votes, but a majority.
Yeah.
And in the original, instead, Cache County has always only had a portion of a vote, but North Logan had a whole vote.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps that model would allow three people from Logan and the one person from North Logan, and then the division of the other ones.
So help me out, I'm a little confused, because the issue was the term, how long they serve for.
No.
No?
No, I'm sort of saying, what if you don't figure that part out?
I'm okay with, we'll figure that out in this conversation today, but did you have a solution in what you're talking about with the different regions? Am I missing something?
Well, I think it's where she's coming from.
He said, I think that it's better off with the cities to not do what you're saying.
Well,
I'm still missing.
You know, the board now, you could vote that at him, but like Jeannie said, what are you going to do when the board starts to transition to another board? Who's going to appoint those people?
What's the process?
All the mayor's council?
Well, okay, so
what are they going to do?
There's a challenge of just getting too swamped in this. Let's address this one thing at a time. Did anybody have an idea on what a term limit might look like before we go into how do we reappoint somebody?
Oh, I think, to my mind,
I think, because there's not one right now.
I think we should have, you could have 4-year terms, renewable, or you could limit it to 2 4-year terms.
What if we did alternating? What if we did some people were on 4 and some people were on 2?
No, I think what you do is when you start out, right, you get your 9 people.
Uh-huh.
You say,
you have
2-year members and 4-year members.
Yeah,
that's great. I like that idea.
Okay. And that way you'd have a set. You wouldn't. Everybody wouldn't be going at the same time.
Yeah. I like that idea. I think we ought to use the straw thing as one way to address this. But let me ask one more time, am I missing something inside the regions regarding terms?
No, you were proposal regarding the proposal that you have made
at large
does not address how to replenish the board when someone quits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
and there's no mechanism. Because you haven't geographically defined it, you haven't politically defined it.
Yeah, I certainly don't think we should. I think the geography, well, that was my understanding from what you were saying, is the geography added a political element to it.
No, I think it would be more political if you didn't have the geography.
I'm talking geographical based on cities that participate service-wise.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it with the county, you're including the entire county, which are people that do not participate, which I don't think is really appropriate for this board, because I think that we've asked people to participate. They have voluntarily given up sales tax revenue to participate, and they have expectations of service from the Cache Valley Transit District. And if you then open it up to 7 regions in the county, you've opened it up to areas that have not made those commitments, but could well demand that opportunity in the future. And I think that we're better.
Does that one county position that Sean represents right now,
he represents
open it
half.
Up to that? I mean, he represents
third or
a
quarter.
Third or a quarter.
What's that?
He only has a third or a quarter.
That's
a third. One thing you got to take into consideration is if it's not going to be geographical, then there could be a possibility that you can clump everybody in one area and make everybody else out, or vice versa.
Yes, that's absolutely possible. We've never seen any implication inside this board right now that would be an issue. But, you know, that's where I was operating from is,
The board is
just, it's a board
of all of those.
But it has to be approved by all of the entities.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure you would get that kind of approval.
My concern with the at large is that essentially all of the municipalities that are participating give up their representation. Because no longer do they have someone that they appoint that lives in their municipality.
Even if it's three municipalities.
Right. So that's my only concern about an at-large board.
Okay. Mike Arnold, tell me some wisdom.
Well, I mean, it's an intriguing concept.
Well,
I
know
that logistically, I'm not sure how that there's a lot of gaps there. So maybe the difference.
You favor, so there's three on the board now. So there's at large, which is not getting a lot of traction right now. There's the county representation. There's cut the board in half.
Yeah, I like the nine member board that, well, that our committee came up with.
Well, every one of the committees got together and made proposals and made a recommendation, and every one of them had was logistically
geographic.
I don't know that we would want to go to a at-large board.
Well, see, the thing that I worry about with that is that we're not a
legislative body.
Well, we're not a legislative body, but we're also not a cash county.
We're not.
Everybody's participating.
We're not a subcommittee of cash county.
Right, we're not. And we're not a subcommittee of Logan City either.
Right, right.
We're an independent organization that receives tax revenue from the participating cities. So it would be, in my mind, I don't think that the participating cities would approve of an at-large board.
Potentially a taxation without our representation.
Correct.
Is there a way to define that cash county representative so that that's worded clearly?
Well, no, what I was saying was I would not have a cat. I would take the one, the four, you know, there were four Logan, I would make it three Logan, one North Logan, because North Logan had a whole vote, has a whole vote. And then I would divide the rest the way we divided them. So the county would be lumped in with, what, Millville and, I can't remember what we said. Millville and...
We had them.
Millville, Nibley, and Hiram, I think. Yeah.
So can I just give some time to the people online? Terry, do you have any input on this? I want to make sure Terry and Ron have a chance to say something.
I sort of agree with whoever made the comment of the taxation without representation. That's a sore point. I would rather have the mayors in the different areas, whether it's all the mayors north, all the mayors south, or we split it into a couple of geographical areas north, a couple of geographical areas south. Let the mayors and the councils select their own representatives. This making a video and saying why it would be good to represent everyone equally, it's not going to fly.
Okay. Ron, any input from you? We're not really.
I agree with geographical. I think it needs to have some, we service the whole valley. I get that, most of us would be representing equally the whole valley, but I think it would be viewed better being in the geographical areas.
Okay, great. So we're clearly more geographical area focused. I think the better option now then would be, let's go back to the subcommittees and kind of work through what the best option is. Right now we kind of have two options, the seven member, the five, the nine member. I'm not married to any of these ideas, so I'm good with whatever the subcommittees want to do.
So you want the subcommittees to meet again?
I do.
And talk about seven.
Those two different options, the seven.
What if we was just put out a poll just like we just did, each one of us, and we vote on it, and
Can I vote right now?
With these
this
two?
Is a non-
no.
With
these,
this is a non-advertised
issue. I was saying, send out
a survey.
A survey,
uh-huh.
Like, was just sent out last week with the two or three proposals.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
And have each member have their position. We've all managed subcommittees and come up with our decision.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Todd, can we do that? Can we just send out a survey?
Yeah, we can put something together and get that to people. Yeah. That would be fun.
And then go with the decision.
You're saying
yeah.
The polling
so,
well, do a survey if you know you want 9 members and this is where it's made up of, or 7 members, this is what it's made up of, or however you want to do it, and then we would just send it out as a survey. And
just kind of a poll, if you want to understand.
Well, I think you could even say, what I don't want to do is have it be like, you have one idea, you have one idea, you have one idea, you have one idea.
Right, just have like three or four couple.
And
we have to have actual choices. To...
Or we have to say, how would you constitute a 7-member board? How would you constitute a 9-member board? And which would you prefer? Or something like that. I don't know. Because, like, what we decided, we
yeah.
heard from Terry that she felt like Logan was overrepresented. If we were to change it to North Logan having a vote, which we talked about, would that be one of the choices?
I think it could be. I think that's very good. I mean, it represents what the vote is currently.
Yes.
Could that be a simple, like, this one would be want North Logan to have it?
Well, I don't, that doesn't get us any closer.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we get to.
I think we have to decide whether we want a 9-member or a 7. And whether or not it's constituted as it currently has been recommended, or if we're asked to come up with what we think. But again, every time we ask for an opinion, we'll get an 18.
Well, we can kick the can down the road forever.
Right.
We just need to do something.
Okay, one of the things we discussed was having 9, which is the max, right?
Yeah.
Just allows for better staffing of the subcommittee.
Well, I agree.
And so that's why we got 9.
How about if we just bring back the 7 and the 9 with the change to North Logan having 1 vote instead of Logan having
like
4?
That.
And we bring it back next time for a vote?
I'm fine with that.
We don't have to survey. And that way we can publicize it, put it up there, and everybody can just vote for it.
Would it be good to maybe add the term of the question of like 2 or 4 years or something?
I like that.
Well,
that would be a good idea.
We can figure that out there.
That would just
that's,
be a good
that's
idea.
The easy part.
That's how most of the boards are constituted anyway. They'll stagger the
Once you decide who is on the board, you have a bunch of straws, and people with short straws get 2 years, and people with long straws
right.
get 4 years, and that's the way it starts.
Okay, and then moving forward, it's just every 4 years?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every
and
2 years,
no.
Well, it's...
It would be 2 years the first time, and then it would move to 4. Yes.
But it's but you would be changing, your terms would stagger, so you have...
They would be.
Half the board would be 4-year terms, and half the board would be 2-year terms.
And
but then when those two are done, they have a 4-year term.
So every 2 years, half the board would turn over.
Right.
Could.
And were all 9 votes, were they all whole votes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was the 3 from Logan, 1 from North Logan, so those 4 were here. And then there were 5 that were divided.
It was
with
2 from the south, 2 from the
north,
and we had 1 from the unincorporated county as well.
Well, I think we,
It was 5 from Logan, 2 from the north, 2 from the south, basically.
And so then we take one of the Logan ones out,
that would make it
and make
there.
It North Logan. And then you've got Hyde Park hanging out there by itself, so you have to adjust those.
I thought we put the county.
We put the county with Providence and River Heights. So we could put Hyde Park, Smithfield, Richmond, and Lewiston together, or we could you know, have North Logan and Hyde Park have one number, and just and reduce the number from Logan by one, and then use Smith,
could,
Richmond, Lewiston have one, Providence,
we could just
Hyde
divide
County
out Cache
one.
County down one.
No, well, but Cache County doesn't really have that many, I mean, the cities have more investment.
Right.
So I would still leave Providence, River Heights, and Cache County as one, Millville, Nibley, and Highland as one. So I would change it to...
If you had the south end of the valley up to north end of the valley up to North Logan slash Hyde Park 1 and then Logan 4.
But that's only 8.
Yeah. So you'd have, and then there was one more. Yes. So let's see.
Two
together,
and we could do
like
Providence
and
Rivers together,
and
Cache County and
Millville
and
Millville
and
Hunter,
or something like that.
That still doesn't give us another vote.
We need to add. Yeah, so you divide, if you divide it that way, you add a vote.
We do this together.
Okay, that's okay.
And that be one.
That gives us 9. Okay, that works. So Cache County and Millville would be together and have one, right? At least based on
proposed here,
what we just talked about.
Do you guys want to share what you're?
If we did a structure with 9 members that was geographic, our proposed, well, I'm speaking for our group, but I shouldn't. Logan would have 4. North Logan Hyde Park would have 1.
Which is where? Right there.
Smithfield, Richmond, Lewiston would have 1.
Can you say 1 or 1 representative?
1
representative.
Yeah. Geographic location.
Providence, River Heights would have 1. Cache County, Millville would have 1. And Nibley, Hiram would have 1.
So Curtis brings up a good point of, do we consider population inside this? Because I see why we group these. They're geographic. But that doesn't really mean anything. Geographic doesn't draw any conclusion from a sales tax revenue or from a representation standpoint. So I like that as a general framework, but maybe we ought to look at it broader and this whole taxation without representation concept. Why would Smithfield get
Smithfield
has a third of the vote?
The
second largest city.
The reason why they have is because of
because it was done by service models,
right,
which we're not doing anymore.
Right, but it becomes a problem trying to figure out population is who's going to actually take care of it. So that's what we're trying to get to, is to the ongoing, is that how do we then translate, who's going to appoint them? How
right.
Are we
in the spirit of sustainability, if I'm a Smithfield mayor, I'm going to tell you I'm not getting a third of a vote. I'm the second biggest in the whole valley.
Yeah, but he's only getting a quarter now.
So he's actually
because he wasn't getting any service miles. We weren't driving there.
Well, we still aren't.
But we're trying to not make it a political thing anyway. So I mean, all we're asking is those mayors to the point.
We're trying to make this
workable. It's Hiram versus Logan.
And how often is it assessed? Because we're growing so rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the spirit of sustainability. How do you come up with a board that's regional and reflective of the population's taxation, not changing every year? The whole problem with today's board is it changed so the requirements changed faster than we could change the board. Hence, I love the
taxation board. Really is not, I mean, just because you've got a business center doesn't mean you've got most people in the town. I mean, Smithfield may have the second most people, but they might not have the second most tax revenue.
I mean, that's a different way to slice the pie. You could definitely do that too. Who's paying the most into the system?
Yeah, it's.
And Millville shouldn't get a vote.
Well, River Heights too. But there's no.
But then they complain because.
But every one of those citizens pay tax. I mean, the most fair way to tax would be
circular
sales tax would be based on the population, and it would make get rid of all the incentives. It would get rid of a lot of things, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I will say that I think that this would be the easiest.
It would.
To get the mayors to agree.
I like this.
Because they are familiar with the concept.
Well, and that's a big component. I applaud that concept because getting it passed is.
And you know,
again, it's a chicken and egg argument.
And but once you get the board changed, if you feel strongly that it's not working the way it should be, then you kind of.
You can tweak it.
You can tweak it. But you've got to have some structure that is at least a modicum of familiarity to individuals.
And the drive should be what can you get past? That really should be our ambition. Because this will spiral for years if we don't do something.
Yeah. And it has in place that mechanism of replenishing the board, the mayor's kind of point. Which I liked your idea that it is that question of how would we replenish the board.
I don't know if we can truly solve that because I'm going to go to Hiram Dibley in Millville and say, hey, I need somebody.
Yeah.
Good luck. I work with those people.
I think we're going to have to rotate or something. Well, but I think you can get two mayors to work together. Mm-hmm. Where if we said it's a wide open field and you got to get all of them to work together, probably not as easy.
Well, you know, to Gene's point, I think we care a lot more about it than maybe the mayors do. Let's just get that off my
mind. Really, the political part of it is going to. I mean, this is not a political agency right here.
No.
And I don't see politics involved in it at all.
No, not traditional party structure, but I mean, when you make it regional, it does become city against city, and that's politics at its best.
Well, it hasn't been in the past.
It's not, because it's very not really functioning board in terms of how it's.
But really, you do what makes sense. If you've got a large apartment community coming in, you take a bus out there, it's just common sense. You don't take it out to a rural community because you have to stand up to do that, drive 5 miles to get one.
Mm-hmm.
One in a passenger. You're going to do what makes sense. And I think the whole board's going to see
board's
that.
Gonna
that
know.
Well, I think Jeannie's comment is the most compelling to me. We do what gets passed.
Yeah.
And if you all think that structure will pass, I'm all for it.
I think it has a better chance.
Path of least resistance is a
this is pretty well what we. All I recommended just maybe the numbers are different.
Right.
I have with the mayors, when you've got three mayors, if two agree on one thing, you know, is that majority?
Two out of three ain't that.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it enough to like?
Well, that's
they
a
have to.
Or do
they
have
to
be unanimous?
I think what you have to do is say, the three of you get to pick. You know, when it's time, I mean, theoretically, we would still have some ongoing people on the board, but I don't think we tell them how they have to pick.
Right.
Okay.
I think that they're grown-ups, they know their cities, they know their regions, they can pick.
What you don't want to have is every 4 years got a new person.
No, you don't.
They're alternating it. You don't get the continuity that way. So.
Okay. I really feel like we're getting a consensus here. Does anybody have any new data points that we ought to consider before we My inclination is for our staff to advertise that we're going to vote on this next time. It is a 9-member system, and it's broken out as a subsection that Glenn has. Run through it, okay? I'm going to give it to you all.
Yes.
Glenn, give that list over to Shirley so she has
so
it.
We'll
and,
change it the way you
yeah, let's just kind of mark that up. And we'll vote next time on regions. Is that acceptable to everybody? I'm not voting, but any input that I'm not misunderstanding?
Yeah, we just that we would have a discussion on maybe tweaking it some and then voting.
Yeah, and post voting on that, we should figure out some nuances as Mike brings up, like how do you replenish? How do the terms work? We should have that spelled out at a certain point, but not necessarily part of this. June.
Well, we also probably will have to have a discussion on who's, what the people are, the people going to, as we present it to the mayors, we probably have to say, do you want these people to stay?
Yeah, so I think that would be part two of this, but I don't want to get swamped because that part two is going to be emotional.
We get the structure in place.
Yeah.
The framework comes first.
Yeah. Okay. Really good discussion. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate that. Hey, can I give you a quick report on our DC trip? It was very eventful. I think it was pretty fruitful. It was a great trip, and I appreciate Todd allowing me to come on this. So we flew there on Tuesday of last week, and Wednesday we met with Representative Owens. He sits on a energy board. We talked about different things that we're trying to do inside of CBTD, and he even proposed a possible ride. I can't remember what RDP stands for suddenly. Can't see I'm on a ride anyway, a demonstration project. A ride demonstration project of possible electric vehicles. That's something that's way down the road, but it's a conversation that he's interested in. We talked to Representative Moore after that. He's working on some funding for that training center that we have. After that, we spoke with Senator Romney, thanked him for his support last year on our bid to close the funding gap on our building. We mentioned this funding for training there. We did the same with Senator Lee's staff. And next, we met with Representative Stewart's staff, funding for training again, and then we had a meeting with Representative Curtis. So we saw all six of a Utah delegation, really, really beneficial. Representative Moore's a real champion for CBTD. He'll be in town this next week talking about a lot of different things, but transportation he's been a big champion for. So, anyway, I thought it was a productive trip. Todd, is there anything you would add to that conversation?
No, I think it was great, and that's good. It's a great job for Representative Moore. And it does make a difference. Holly's been there with me. Having a representative from the board makes a big difference, and it shows the commitment that you all have to transit. So I just appreciate that you all are willing to let us keep doing this. It's definitely been something that's, you know, it takes those relationships, it takes those time for us to really educate them on all the stuff that we're doing, and both in the short term and long term, as Patrick's identified some of those future things out there. So thank you for that.
Great. Any other comments from the board at large?
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Did we resolve the request that we received? Was it last time?
We did not. We had Leerin and your committee had, service committee had a meeting on it, and we had communicated to the Lundahls that we would give them an answer at the June meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, others? Any public comments? Not hearing any. We are adjourned. Thank you.